For the word, raise one hand, let's sing together. Dear Father, name of your son Jesus, in this service, we receive fresh revelation and fresh application of the written word in this service. We believe and receive that there is no error or confusion or distraction either on our heart or in this atmosphere. We believe and receive that questions are answered, doubts are dissolved, needs are clarified, and together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this session, he is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 16. Hope you've been having a great time. Okay, Matthew 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that I, John the Baptist, others Elijah, or some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said unto them, so you can see that denominations didn't start today. Alright? Verse 15. And he said unto them, "But you say, whom do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give thee the keys of kingdom of heaven." And he says, "And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, we just quick one, just something very quick. We started looking at the phrase "end of the world," and I believe you are seeing the connection, right? Okay, what is the sign of thy coming? Matthew 24, verse 3, and at the end of the world. Now let's look at those signs again. You know, they asked him for a sign in the temple when he said, "Don't make my father's house a house of merchandise." Then he said, one of the signs he gave them was, "Destroy this temple after 3 days, I'll raise it." But now pay attention to something that we must have overlooked. You know, we said in the morning that he was actually teaching, right? Was that clear enough?
Yes, sir.
So he wasn't just, you know, dragging folks out of the place and getting upset. But there were three things that significantly that he did. We'll touch the third one tomorrow. I think tomorrow, yeah. I'll find a way around it. Now, he was teaching them, right? So, and we've been doing that here. And I'm going to believe we are at the end of the world. You know what that means, right? Okay, let's see. End of the world, right? Right? God is bringing to fulfillment, right? His promises. Let me see your hand. You believe that? Good. So we are at the end of the world. I showed you yesterday that the church in Corinth, they need the end of the world that come to them, right? So end of the world means that we are at the closing stages of God plans to do with the earth. And it's not to destroy it. Amen. Exactly. It's to make it his dwelling place. Okay? Now pay attention to something. You know, Jesus did two significant things. Apart from the fact that we said that by stopping the selling and buying, he removed a barrier. I can't go into all the details, but I'll give you some teachings to go listen to, and you get all the details. I've broken down into details there. That he took out the barriers. Which means that whether you're Jew or Gentile, whether you are circumcised or not, this is your house. Is that clear? There was something else he did, because they asked for a sign. And go to that Isaiah 56. We were there earlier, right? Isaiah 56. Something else he did. It's a sign. So we're going to see as we study that one of the signs that God is building this is that there are no barriers between us. Hallelujah. Where we come from, no matter what nation, tribe, tongue we belong to, he has removed the barriers. Hallelujah. All right, okay, critical. So let's see Isaiah 56. What else is there? Now, in verse, you know, we read verse 3, and when he said, "The Enoch should not say that I am not joined to the Lord." Then he says in verse Let me just be quick of time. In verse 6, also the sons of the stranger join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of the covenant. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. Now he says in 10 and 8, sorry, the Lord God which gathers the outcasts of Israel saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered to him. So, which means those that are outcasts. Now, in the temple, you had physical ailments, right? You were at restrictions at people that couldn't go far in the temple. So what did Jesus do? What did he do? In Luke's gospel, Matthew's gospel and 21, as a sign of what God was doing, Matthew's gospel 21, in verse 13, it's written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Let's read 14 slowly and find. Came to him in the temple and he healed them. Which means he made them qualify. He reconciled them with the temple. Now healing is also a sign of what God is doing. Because healing is a sign of reconciliation. It's a sign. The closest sign to forgiveness of sins in scripture is healing. They go hand in hand. In Luke 5, when that fellow was brought through the roof and Jesus saw him, said, your sins are forgiven thee, and said, take up your bed and walk. So healing is a sign of God's forgiveness. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. He says he forgives you of all your iniquities and heals you of all your diseases. And, you know, so Jesus is teaching. So one of the things about the house is that he teaches in the house, right? He's teaching in the house. The house is a house of teaching. It's a house of prayer. Also, it's a place of healing. Now, the healing, we're going to look at it in a wholesome way. Healing, physical, bodily healing, is also a place of healing broken relationships. Healing broken relationships within families, relationships. You know, if I could just give you an idea, I'm going to get to it later. Like I said, it's not the first focus today. You know, there was a case like that where Paul and he had a certain associate called Philemon. Philemon was a leader in the church in Colossae. That's the essence of that letter. And Paul writes to Philemon. He says, Philemon, you have a servant called Onesimus. Onesimus has offended you. What, the details were not clear. Maybe he took his money and went away. Or maybe he didn't render a service, but obviously from a bit of history we know it was such a crime that usually it's either, you know, they take the guy's life or something like that. So now Paul now writes to Philemon and he speaks about Onesimus, a relationship that had gone bad. He reminds him, he said, look, he was your servant, now he is your brother. You are the rich fellow, he is a servant, but at the table of Jesus, you are brothers. He now told him, you will receive him forever. And you know, I'll get into this tomorrow, I hope tomorrow, yeah. He, Paul, now did something very interesting. It's assumed again, like I said, I mean, the offense is criminal. Then Paul writes the letter to Philemon. And he gives it to Onesimus to deliver it. Which is a test of Christian character.
Will Philemon walk in the flesh? Or will he walk in the spirit? So he sends a letter to him to receive a brother. Because when you come to this house, Paul says, neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, male or female, because we are all one. 1 Corinthians 12:13. Galatians 3:28. We are all one. I think I'm 29. And we are all one in Christ. So, the sign. Now, and you know, forgiveness of sins, a gift from God to us, is also to signify our oneness with God. You offend, he offers you forgiveness eternally. So, which means I have reconciliation with God in this relationship I have with him forever. It's a gift of his grace. Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:14 says, it's a gift of his grace. So I always have it. And the sign of it is healing. Physical and bodily healing. The miracle of healing is to point to the miracle of our fellowship and eternal union that we have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, how many of us believe tonight, or this afternoon, sorry, that this is that house? You believe it? You sure believe it? This is this house? You believe that? And that means that this house is a house of healing, right? Physical healing? You believe that? So, which means we are believers, okay? So, which means that this afternoon, because we know God is building something in the earth and we're part of it, we are going to receive the gift of that house, which is healing. Hallelujah. And one of the things I'm going to emphasize after now tonight is, and to this church and as many who are here too, is we need to be more conscious of the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. More conscious. Learn about it. About the work and the power of the Holy Spirit. So right now, amen, we are going to receive healing. Amen. Because this is that house. We are in that house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You know, you can stand to your feet just for a few minutes and let's just thank God for this house. It's his house. A house of healing and reconciliation. Oh, house of healing. Completeness is here. Completeness is here. Oh, completeness is here. Lift those hands and bless him. Completeness is here. Oh, it's here.